Welcome to an iTech 15 speaker presentation. This file has been brought to you by Christian Education National. Enjoy and connect to www.cen.edu.au for more information.
Hi, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to this afternoon's final session at the end of a very busy and hopefully a really positive day that you've all enjoyed. I think there's been some great challenges and some great encouragements as we've worked through the program of today. You have come to a new parenting introduction course, creating a positive partnership with parents. And Eric Hoffman, who is the principal at Launceston Christian School, is going to be taking us through a little bit about what they've been doing, the things that they've been learning, and the course that they've been developing with new parents to help them partner with them better. We know that that can be a challenge in some of our school contexts, in all of them probably in some ways, and it's great to be thinking about how we can partner with parents in that process of education of their children. It's my pleasure to be able to introduce Eric, and he has many years of experience as a principal, and I'm looking forward to things that he has to say. He's going to speak to us for about 45 minutes, and then we're going to have about 5-10 minutes worth of questions that we can pound him with and see how we go in answering them. If you have a mobile phone, please make sure that it's on silent or switched off so that we can get through our process. So I'd like to introduce Eric and thank him for his time. Thanks, Eric.
It's intimidating because there's a number of you who know me and don't pull faces, Chris. It's a challenge for me to do things in 45 minutes, so get comfortable. No, I'm just kidding. We'll try our best. Why are you late, Andrew?
So I was allowed in at the last minute.
Thanks for coming to the session. I really hope you get something out of it. Maybe not something new, but something different. Ideally, you should take this course and keep the framework and then develop it into your own context. So if people come to your new parent induction course at your school, it's good to remind yourself that most of them have already made the right decision. Hardly ever do someone come to a new parent induction course to check out your school or Christian education. However, in this course, we give a lot of attention to what Christian education is so that they become good defenders of the choice that they've made. Most of them chose your school for reasons that we will get into shortly. At Launceston, we have changed enrollment policy a few years ago. We used to be a school with a closed enrollment, and because of the anti-discrimination laws in Tasmania being so strict, we wanted to let our policy honour those laws. And so our board saw that as a great opportunity to engage properly with all new families, regardless of their motives or why they come to our school. So a new parent induction course will provide opportunity for proactive sharing of the gospel. It will provide a good avenue for you to connect with your parents with the responsibilities that they have as parents. So it's also a bit of parenting 101 that you do in this course. And it will encourage them, or it gives you an opportunity to encourage them about the value that they have placed on their children's education. They don't have a choice. It is mandatory. So we do require them to come to the course. So at Launceston, this whole change of policy brought about a total new constructed approach to how to induct new parents. We never did anything like that, and so we started to beg, borrow, and steal from everywhere. Probably mainly did we get material from Chris Parker and the National Institute, which you will see in a minute. In my experience, when new parents enroll at your school, they fall into six broad categories. There's more, but I've always got six categories in mind when people come. It's those who are committed to Christian education, and they're basically looking for a continuation of the moral ownership that they have in your school. These include people like past students and those who've always been in the generational context of your school. I call them generational enrollments. Then you get another group that claim a Christian faith, but they have great difficulty to articulate that, or there's no clear evidence that they have a confession or a Christian practice. I call them the pursuing something for their children that they may have lost themselves. A third category is those who have best intentions, but in reality, they only want to shelter their kids from a culture that they've come to dislike. Forgive the language, but I've had a parent who said, I just don't want my child to go to a bogan school. And he referred to the local state school. I don't refer to them as bogan schools, and not anymore, because some of the public schools are doing a fantastic job, and we've got a few in the same street as ours that are doing a fantastic job. So they must have some real problem with the public schools when they come. What do I call them? I call them, please provide an artificial hothouse. The fourth category is those who are looking for a top education at a private school, but they don't want to pay the fees at the prestigious school nearby. I call them bang for buck enrollments. Then there's those whose child is bullied or unhappy, and most of you who are principals or enrollment officers will recognize this, or just plain unhappy at another school and they've heard good things about your school, they want to come there. I call these enrollments fresh start enrollments. And that's a legitimate one. You agree that there's five categories? There's a sixth one, and I hope that, like us, you don't have a lot of these kind of enrollments. There are those who test the school for their own personal opposing religious or political agendas. You know what I'm talking about, a gay couple who wants to enroll their child and things like that. What do we do with them? Well, generally, we try to run around them and try and outsmart these kind of enrollments. But I would suggest you stop doing that, because you'll see with the new parent induction course, it becomes very clear what your school is about. And if someone then still wants to have their child in your school, being exposed to the worldview that you present to them, then they will accept that you teach that to their children, and ultimately, either their agenda is exposed and their integrity is at stake, because if you run around too much trying to meet their needs, you are going to find that it's trouble. We don't have time to pause at all these categories in detail today because there's other things to do. And each of them, again, if you're in the enrollment business, each of them would actually require its own approach. A little bit of an outcome. That's why it's so important that when people come to your school, that you sit down and talk to them about why do they want. It must be a standard question. Why do you want your child to come to this school? And you can say that with a big warm smile, because they need to give you a reason. And some would be nervous because they have maybe an agenda that they don't want to fully share with you, but you'll get to that as the interview progresses. At LCS, it is, like I said, it's a mandatory part of enrollment. The parents do know that they do that. But we don't make that a prerequisite for enrollment, because that's practically very difficult to do. So the way we work around that is that we say, well, look, within the first year of your child coming to the school, we want you to do the course. Is that okay? And you make a note. You just make a note of that. For those who don't do the course, because there will be the ones or twos who just didn't want to do that because they think you're out to proselytize them and so they would want to run it. Can we legally get to them because of the fact that they've signed off? The answer is no. But what do? We call it the squeaky wheel approach. You just keep on nagging because they will do it. They said to you that they are going to do that. We don't really have that problem, I think, out of the 115 couples who have done that in the last 2 or 3 years, because we do invite our existing parents to come for a refresher if they want to. So you open it to board members and everyone in the community. We haven't had many issues. One or two people who really, because of work commitments on a Saturday, can't do it. So we provide it once a term. We make the dates available on our website so that every term there's one Saturday from 9 o'clock in the morning till 1 o'clock in the afternoon. This is still a work in progress, okay? So don't think that this is... It's tried and tested, and it seems to work very well for us, and I'll finish off today with what we consider to be the success of this course, but 4 hours of that is probably enough. regardless of what definition you may give to the word success, for us it means high levels of success in the following areas. One, and I probably should have put it on there, but it's more the course that I'm getting into now. It stimulates the faith of your believing parents. This course is a good refresher. They get reminded of why they love the gospel. You see that by the people in your room, because you know if there's 20 or 30 people in the room, you see them nodding at you, and you get lots of encouragement out of that, because they know the gospel, and they know those sort of things. It's very encouraging for us to say that the non-believers who come to this course actually ask questions. The first time they've heard that, it is an exercise in which we challenge their thinking about worldview, and it's a really nice way in which they come to ask themselves those questions. And we've seen people converted to the Christian faith, as you would have seen in your school when you work with these parents. It's absolutely that's kingdom work. Number one, you use the new parent induction course. We use it to advocate heavily for volunteerism. You would all know that volunteerism is a death game in our schools. So to be able to use a course where the people are in your care for 4 hours and you give them nice food and coffee and everything, you really stress that message of how it is their school and what they need to give back to the school in terms of their time. And you use the course to disseminate essential information and stressing mechanisms of communication in your school. My second last slide of the course is to go quickly and say, this is how we communicate at school. We don't give you a paper newsletter anymore, it is an electronic newsletter. We've got a little app called School Bag, it's the website. So everything that we need to communicate to you will be through these means. So there's really no way in which you would ever able to say, my son forgot the newsletter in his locker. But the highest level of success at our school probably lies in the fact that new parents will know that Christian education is not a transaction. It is not a fee for service. Yeah, and you've heard that before in our context. It is a partnership. It says you are part of the school and you will work with us. But here's a snapshot. We've got a good AV guy at our school, and he's made a little video of our last one, which was only a few weeks ago, or the end of last year, doesn't really matter. And I hope you can hear the... What she says. I told her you shouldn't interview the dad without their what, of course. Just for your own good, and like I said, this presentation will be available through the IPEC means. But just a few things that I could give to you to start thinking about when you prepare your own course is to have a presenter for that. I think ideally it should be the principal for all those reasons that I've just mentioned. The fact that you connect with your parents, the fact that you stress partnership with them. There's a relationship happening. And it's good for you to try and remember those people's names as they came. You have to design your course content. The one that you see today, it doesn't have our copyright. As I said, we begged, borrowed, and stole from everywhere for you to use. Happy for you. At the end, my email address is there. I'll send it to you if you want it. On the day, you need to make sure that it really looks good. Not in terms of flowers and stuff, but make sure that there is nice snacks and food and stuff, because these parents, like you heard from this one, they go through some trouble to be there for 4 hours, and you need to make it worthwhile for them. So be charismatic in your approach, enjoy them, and all the feedback that we've had so far suggests that people really enjoy coming to the course, even if it is just for the fact that 4 hours they didn't have to be at home or at work. And then if you can, and I know many schools are challenged in this area, if you don't have someone who make audio visuals, just filming, taking pictures and being able to put it together, then it's probably time to consider that for your school, because it has so many other benefits. You can see how we've used that. He came one Saturday, did the filming, and he just does these things. Very important for you. You'll see later why, because we have a way in which we introduced our heads of school and the key people in the school, not by getting them to the course, because that's logistically impossible to ask 12 people to come, but we went around and we filmed them, interviewed them, had picture overlays, music, and in a pleasant way they welcome the people to the course, and if we have a bit of time, I'll show you that. The course begins by yourself. Just introduce yourself as a human being and the fact that you love the school. I saw that in one of the sessions earlier today. It is important for them to know why you absolutely adore the school that you have. That makes them fit straight at the beginning. Tell them that. I always use this slide to say, because the teachers need to supervise and I can get in the pool. Wouldn't do that now in the system. Then a bit of your family. It actually works, because people do know that you're not just a suit-wearing person in an office, but that you do have a family. But into the course, these are the 4 sessions that we do. We stop and labour the issue of what is Christianity. So we start with the Christianity Explored video, and we work it from there. Then we move into that session by looking at different views of the world, which Chris Parker does in his Christian education, the basic Christian education course. Then we go to the fact that the gospel is best explained in a nutshell by 2 Ways to Live, which is a product from Matthias Media, which in itself is quite a good snapshot for people to hold on to. We find that they find that a very useful part of the session. And then we move more to the school information bit, and we say, what is Christian education in partnership with LCS? How does it look? And you give them about an hour of that, or half an hour. And then the last session is simply, I stop teaching, and you just press the AVs, and then all the chairman of the board and the chairman of the PNF and the business manager who's in this room right here, everyone comes up and say, give a 5 minute or 10 minute spiel of their key areas in the school. And people walk away knowing your school better than they probably would have if they'd met that person and spent that 5 minutes like that. So we ask, what is the worldview? What is your worldview? And what is the view of the world at our school? We say all these things that you might have heard before, simply that every person has a worldview, because some people would claim that they don't have a view of the world until you tell them that they do and what it looks like. Then many of you might have seen this slide. Chris, I use this one. I asked him for this one because this is where it all starts. People are a little bit shocked when they see that, Christian school. You do that sort of thing. We make a point. I usually don't talk here. I usually just do this. seen that one? Hands up if you've seen it. Very effective, isn't it? It just takes you right to the point of how do we view the world? And then, of course, we come to that point where there's four big questions to ask. Now, this is very effective, and we're starting to think that maybe in our course we do this too long, but time will tell, and you need to tweak constantly, and you need to freshen it up. You cannot assume that it's going to be okay forever. We ask the four big questions according to the CCE. You look at different religions. You answer those questions on their behalf from what we know, and so people are starting to learn about different cultures and different religions and how they see the world. As I said, because we don't have time to do them all now, happy for you to get the course from me and you just design it into your own, because the National Institute has copyright on these slides and they've given it to us, happy to distribute it for you. But, you know, people are really rocked when you do the Hitler worldview with them and say, how did Hitler see the world? He saw, and how would he answer those four questions? I'm a savage predator or a weak animal that's ripe for destruction. And he says, we live in a competitive, cruel, and pitiless world. All life on earth is a struggle for survival. Only the strong should survive. You can imagine, if you're not in the business of teaching, you and I can find our way to this kind of stuff quickly. But for a parent who has had no connection with your school, to simply see these things. It's very confronting, it's very challenging. And we have reason to believe that it flicks that switch in their thinking as to, wow, so this is what schools and education is about. According to Hitler, the problem is we've allowed the weak to survive, given in to sinful feelings and compassion. We've sinned against nature by protecting the weak. And the solution is repent, embrace the cruelty of nature, eliminate weak people and parasitic races. And there's more. I think there's a series of nine or so different worldviews. And we go through them so that people get really challenged in what is their view of the world. But then I finish and walk away from the stage for five minutes. After I've said to them, my view of the world's influence, and again, it gets a bit personal, because then you say, my mum and dad influenced my view of the world heavily. And the elders in my church, my youth club leaders, my sport coaches, all the people who influence your worldview, share that with them, because it makes it real. And it gives them hints as to where do they start thinking about who shaped their worldview. Because what you're actually saying at this very crucial point in time is that we are going to shape the worldview of your child. And we're going to shape it to what we believe the gospel teaches. Okay? And so it's a very important point to pause at with them. And then you ask them, what is influence? Good time to give them a little break, bit of stretching legs. They fill up their coffees and they come back to the table. And then you go through this series of the course with them, simply talking a bit more relaxed about who we are, because we're now saying to them, this is how we view the world at the school. Yeah, because, and I like the fact that we've got Launceston Christian School, because it's hard for someone to, you know, you can ask them, what part of Christian didn't you understand when you came to the school? But to unpack that for them in that context is quite useful. And you shouldn't be surprised if people take notes at this. You leave some pen and paper there, and we've got a little PDF booklet that we make of this so that they can pay full attention. Where are we? You know, you give to them the notion of the world is inherently a good place. God made this planet extraordinarily perfect, but something happened. There's a problem. So what do we see as the problem? Exactly that, and you should have seen that slide before this. It's really, and to you, this is why we built this presentation, is because we find that it's often more effective to give them a picture than to give them a lecture of 5 minutes. But it boils down to that word. And if we try to shy away from the fact that we believe that mankind is in a state of rebellion and needs to be restored to God through Jesus, through faith in Jesus, then you've missed the whole point of sharing the gospel with them. So that's it's fantastic. You say to them, rebellion has brought these things in. And again, you don't talk here. You just let them sit and reflect, because many of your people would know that top left-hand corner. You know, a high percentage of our parents come as single parents, divorced, sometimes a bit of nastiness. Sometimes they use their kids as, you know, as a battleground. The school becomes a battleground. Best to talk to them about that and say, we see that as a result of sin, not an excuse to continue your battle here at school. Okay? So we give them a bit, even violence in sport would make them think. And then how is it fixed? Then we come to the second session. This is where we break for a long period of time, not just a leg stretch, but because we launch into session two. And many of you would be familiar with Two Ways to Live, I hope. And if you're not, get it, because it uses these symbols and it uses one-liners almost to just give your audience the gospel in a nutshell. So I'm going to flick through it very quickly. So it progresses to that, and then it finishes here. And say, as your child goes through this school with us, we inevitably teach that there's only two ways to live, our way or God's way. And so don't be surprised that we teach that there is a heaven and a hell. This is true. I had one withdrawal from our school because the mum was concerned that the Bible teacher teaches that there was hell. And I was completely shocked to think that she would not believe that. But after the conversation, I realized that she didn't understand that what the Bible teacher teaches is not his own. The Bible teacher teaches the gospel, which is given to us as the revelation of God. So there is heaven and hell. You just don't stop to exist, because that's what she believed. But you know what she did? That lady had integrity. She withdrew her child from the school. And so don't, you can try, I've tried for 5 or 10 or 15 minutes with her, trying to use that as another way, but they are very angry and they believe that they can't accept that the Bible teaches that. But to expect us to become a little bit more watered down or dumbed down on that, or to be a bit more politically correct, I think that would be selling out the gospel. That would make grace cheap. You know, all those sort of things that you've heard this morning. Two Ways to Live produces the option for you to live God's new way, with the result that you are forgiven by God, given eternal life. This is where you have to be excited. You cannot just be mechanical about that. You know, you really get to them and say, do you realize? And often I think that this is the part in the course where you can see certain people shrink a little bit because they feel extraordinarily challenged, and they sort of, some of them would say, leave me alone. I'm happy to sit here, but don't try and make me a Christian today. So be careful that you don't go too long and too hard, because you might lose the opportunity. They might just. But this is where you get really excited. This is where you say, this is what our students know if they leave school. Okay? We're not claiming that they do believe that, but they would have had no excuse that they've never heard that message at your school. They hear it quite often. So in summary, who are we? And then you take the same kind of approach with those other slides with Hitler and Dawkins, and so you take this, and then you go through, who are we? We are this, etc., etc. Okay. And again, if you ask me, I'll send you the USB with the course on it. Then you will see that this is a complete set, and you can just make it into your own. Okay. If you want to, you can use it like that as well. Then we give discussion time. This is hit and miss. Can I confess that? This is hit and miss. Because if you give time here, this is for the people in your audience to reflect. Is there any meaning to life? What we've now trying to do, and it actually works better, is we've asked a few of our committed Christian parents to come to the course and to be your buddy families, if you want to call it like that. So they place themselves around the tables, and they know this is their cue. For this is where they prompt a question at their table. Yeah, we're not secretive about that. We say to the people, we've got some of our existing parents, and they will lead you through this little discussion. In the beginning, we left it up to the groups themselves, But then it's hit and miss because if the group doesn't have a really on fire born again Christian in their group, then it's going to be quite a dull kind of thing. You know, people would feel intimidated. But if you have someone there, so think about that strategy. Okay, it's not. I can't tell you exactly how to do it in your context. You know the socioeconomic makeup of your school anyway. So find good ways here. Then we come to our session three, and the session three is where we move a little bit closer to school. You'll see pictures of your school. You need to get them in there because it really makes them feel a sense of ownership of that. And quite frankly, most of you would design a course that look even much better than this. But what I've done is I've taken a few extracts from the LCS Constitution, because when are you ever going to get an opportunity to tell your school about that? Here's a little opportunity to tell them about association membership. Don't kill them with that, because they're not all that interested in that at that point in time. But you can tell them that it's a valuable part, because associations is a dying model. And you need people to re-engage with that sort of thing. So we say our school was, 50 years ago. The school's 40 years old, but the association's 50 years old. And they think, how does that work? Yeah, for 10 years, parents considered how they're going to do school. So it's a way of honouring your pioneers. It's a way of giving them a bit of a background to your school and things like that. And of course, on a Saturday, you've got more time. You can do this relaxed. Here's a few snapshots from our constitution. Tell them clearly that it is not subject, if you can do that, of course. If you are subject to a denominational organisation, if you do belong to a certain church, then be honest about that here and say, our church is a ministry, or our school is a ministry of this church, but in our school it's not, so you say that. Christians, what's the goal of school? To make to have responsible Christians in church, state and society, and what do we do? So that sort of stuff. Do you mind if I flick through it very quickly? Because you know all the things anyway. Why are we here? We tell them, what does Christ-centered learning want? These things roll off our tongue. We almost assume that, but the people who are going to sit in your induction courses have no idea what Christ-centered learning is, and you have to give them some idea of your thoughts about that. You need to talk about the importance of being united in your understanding, and this is where you tell them that salvation is part of what we teach here at school. We are very concerned with the salvation of your child. And for some people, that word is probably one of the first times that they would hear that you talk about being saved. Saved from what? Oh, okay. Then they connect it with the previous part of the book. Saved from a world that has gone rebellious. Saved from ourselves. Saved into the kingdom of life. Saved into eternity. That's good stuff, isn't it? So then you go and talk a little bit about, that's a favourite text for me, but this is where you put your own stuff in and just say, why partner with Christian education? Because for us, Romans 12, this too is very important, because that's what we try to do in our pedagogy. We try to challenge our teachers with embedding that into how they teach and what they teach. And of course, with all the other mechanisms. We continue on with this. And then... you talk a little bit about success, because there's all this opinion about what success means. For some people, success means academic results. For some people, success means that their child just gets through school and not get expelled, that kind of thing. And so it's good to just be human about success. I've got a little bit of stuff that I've developed in that area, and they come with the notes of the show. You see what you do here? You just talk it through with them. And then what I do is I use a bit of John Hattie. I think it's important that you tell people in your audience that you are relevant about education. What are the influences in your child's life? Of course, parents, school, church. But to unpack that a little bit with them, it's quite... this is Parenting 101, by the way. This is where you... help them to see things a little bit differently. For those who believe that success is academic results, and they think that it only comes because the teacher is either good or bad, you kind of let them know that if you understand what schools are about, you know that the student themselves carry a responsibility. The home has an influence. Teachers have an influence. Believe it, the school and the principal has an influence. And of course, the peer group has an influence on how you achieve in your subjects. Any of those percentages, of course, you can argue and debate, but that's just John Hattie makes it safe if it's someone else's. We talk about salt and light because some of the people don't know how to defend their choice that they've sent their children to a school. If this scenario is familiar to you, just smile. But you get people who come to you with their grade 9 child who has just been kicked out of the local school. They have gone to church a few years ago, which is code for probably once, and they want their child to come to your school. You're very friendly, you're fine. And then you get the family who said, no, I'm a full born-again Christian. I've never believed that Christian education is a good thing. I sent my child to public school because I want him to be salt and light. But sadly, he was trampled upon. And sadly, he could not defend his faith. You want to yell, what did you expect? She was 5 years old. You know, now there's damage. That's how you feel, isn't it? Don't do that. You just simply say, it's good. It's never too late to engage. And we will use whatever platform and every capacity we have to work with you to restore the saltiness and to make sure that we work with your child again. But you all know the salt and light argument. And you finish by telling people a little bit about that. Now, this is very effective. This is something that my director of studies has developed a few years ago for information evening. And I stole that off him because this is the summary to sort of reflect on it comes out of the salt and light bit, and it talks about what is secular education and what is yet. And this contrasted so beautifully. You know, the mind of man is supreme against in the Christian school, the mind of God is supreme. In my last course, 60% of the people who were there were people who transferred their kids from a public school to our school. Okay, so out of 10 people would do that. And then for them, this is an eye-opener. For them, this is, of course, you know, it makes sense. This is not about man's good and man's development as the highest goal of education. It's about the glory of God and the ultimate goal of education. If they are Christians, of course, they would understand that. If they're not, you should still be extraordinarily transparent and open about this. You agree with that? Yeah? And session 4, I've got a few minutes. How many minutes?
10.
Oh, this is good because this is there's a little bit of time to see how we've done our AVs of introducing that here. And Graham, you can rest your business now on this bit here. Okay. We break it up because during the day we show the AVs at different times, and then towards the end we put this up. So I'm just going to show you a little bit of this. Okay, so sit back and think.
Not sure if the volume is going to be.
Get the idea?
Yeah.
I mean, the volume is a bit disappointing here. I don't know how to fix that. But that's what we do. So we bring our people in that way. Can you see how how nice it works if you introduce people that way, and they will tell them a little bit about their portfolios in the school, and people would go, oh, okay, now I know a little bit about this school. Then we stop between these AVs and we just talk about the Herald, which is the name of our newsletter, that they go online to the school's website. We have a little app that we call School Bag. Many of you might have that too. We have a Facebook page, which we moderate very carefully, of course. You have to be wise how you do that. But I see how effective that is because, you know, a carnival gets cancelled and you do it through Facebook and everyone would know. I don't know how, but everyone knows. Parent handbook, we put a lot of effort in making a good handbook so that they can take that with them. I'm probably proud to say that I think about 9 out of 10 parents won't read the parent handbook. It's not because it was badly compiled. It's simply that they only use it when they need to know something. And they pull it out and it's just like a diary. You know, they can read it like that. But to not have a parent handbook is probably not a good option. You should have that. I never assumed that people would know. And I always pick these two things because at our school, parking and drop-off is a nightmare. So this is the opportunity where you can look them in the eyes and say, don't you dare park in the turning circle or things like that. And they go, right. And this one, in Tasmania, when you do schools registration, the schools registration board is pedantic about seeing your grievance resolution policy, probably in all other states as well. This is a good time to tell them how you grieve properly. And tell them that if you don't do it this way, don't expect the matter to be resolved satisfactorily. But if you grieve in the right way, we have a 4-stage grievance process and you teach them, you coach them in that. And then comes the second AV, where those people are being introduced to the school community and people go, right, now I know. And they all tell them, you know, our pastoral counselor would say, my name is Angela Curtis and my job is to provide pastoral counseling. She does it under the chaplaincy program and explain everything, very short, succinct little videos that we have of them. And then we give them a Q&A. Do not be disappointed or don't feel personally attacked if you don't get any questions. Because by now, they really want to go home. They never go over time. Always stay. If you said 1 o'clock, then I always aim for 12:45 because it's a bonus. They've been such a good class. Go ahead. And quickly, just tell them that your school fair is on in November and that they are required to be there. Our school is part of it. It's a mandatory part. You need to work for an hour or two at the school fair. And if you don't, you get shot. So the other way you can get them to do something. Let me see how that please explain to you.
So what bullets do you use?
And so, this is important too. You would find that a lot of that stuff comes from, I think Bill Rusin once developed this White Christian Schools website, and I see a lot of people use it. That's where we get a lot of our material, recognize it from the National Institute. And I've probably forgotten to put the logo of Two Ways to Live in the Fires Media in there. And then we have, this is really important, get your board to provide a little budget, not for the coffee and cake that you provide on the day, but to invest in a proper family Bible, okay? And then we encourage those people who have Bibles to take that Bible if they don't need it to give it to someone else. But the parents who've never had a Bible in their home, this is your first opportunity to put the Word of God in there. And we give them a proper one. It's a family Bible, and I don't think you can make a bigger, what's it called, back investment into your parents. They're going to support you, and they will love receiving this from you. You give them a certificate of attendance. This is all serious stuff. You give them a course summary booklet so that they didn't have to take notes and things like that. You gave them the Two Ways to Live pamphlet, a Christian education pamphlet. CEN develops all these beautiful things. Ask them to put that on coffee tables in doctors' or waiting rooms and things like that. And mostly, I don't think our course would have reached this point if it wasn't for the course feedback form, because it's evolved a bit. Yeah, we've done it about 8 or 9 times now, and every time we tweak it a little bit to come to this point where it's feedback. Now, feel free, that's my email address. Please email me if you want the course. I'm happy to send it to you. Might only charge you for the postage and a USB because it has some AVs in it, it's probably a little bit bigger. I can cut that out. I don't think LCS is things, but like I said, it's really cool if you could take that and make it your own. And you will see, here's my guarantee to you, if you start to do this, I'm not sure if you're all in a position to be able to go back to your boards and say, can we make this mandatory part of our enrollment? But if you can, do it. We've had this little opportunity to do that at the junction of changing it, and we've worked retrospectively a little bit. Please get your boards to embrace the notion of working towards, say, in 2017, we want all our parents to come into the school then, so that your enrollment officers and everyone can start warning people that if you enroll in 2017, you will have to do a parent induction course. But we haven't had anyone really complaining or disliking it at all. On the contrary, your course feedback form always comes back with extraordinary things. This is where we've learned how people have committed to go to church again. And I've gone through the trouble of ringing two pastors who was mentioned on this feedback form. And they said, yes, this family is back in our church. They haven't been for years. Thank you for that. I know this is not about thank you. This is about praise God, because these people can go back. You will find that your nominal Christians, the ones who have gone a little bit weak in their faith or has, you know, gone missing, that this is probably one of the biggest, let me not use rough language here, but it's a great encouragement for them to come back. And a big kick up the backside. Okay. It's great. So thank you for listening.
Now I promise I'll give some time for questions at the end. So if anyone has any questions, Eric, now is the time to throw them at him. Learn from his experience. Yeah, you've got one.
Obviously this is something that started after school had started, so there would have been a body of parents who hadn't been exposed to this. You touched on it slightly, but I'm interested in how did you cater, apart from just making it optional for them to come in, so that those parents who hadn't been involved could be involved, or were, or
we just, you can go now, it's fine. Yeah. you knew, Adrian knew it was going to do that. Yeah. We don't expect them to do that. We're very, very open about it. We invite them, and reality is that not many take up that invitation, because who's going to volunteer for a half a Saturday to come and listen to a course? But some have. And it's good that your board members do that. Let them go, you know, roster them on to come and sit in this course so that they own it. But retrospectively by invitation. Okay. So I think it would be a mountain to get over to say to your 330 other parents, sorry, you have to come and do this course. You can only do it from a certain point on.
Eric, you didn't mention anything about football team they support and how if they want to get on in that school, they should Eric for a team like Hawthorn.
No, you tell them that their school fees go up if they go for Hawthorn. They are St Kilda fans, they get a discount. It helps. With the My Family bit, this is where if you're a passionate footy supporter or rugby supporter or cricket, or just put it in there because they like to know that. Carlton supporter, because they're not going to laugh at your career.
Yeah. Any more questions?
All right, well, I want to thank Eric for his time, and as a small gift, part of our appreciation for sharing what you're doing, and hopefully we can take some of those things back to our school context and implement and look at how we can better communicate and partner with our parents. I'm going to pray for Launceston Christian School and for the parents in our broader school communities, and then we get going. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the opportunity to partner with parents in the education of their children. Lord, we pray for Launceston Christian School. We thank you for the work that it's doing in trying to engage their parents and to particularly help their parents understand what it means to teach from a biblical worldview. Lord, we pray for the non-Christian families in that context, that as they're confronted with the truth of the gospel, that your spirit might move and convict them of their need for a personal relationship with you. Lord, we pray the same for our school communities. We pray that we would be bold in sharing the gospel, that we would be relational in the way in which we do that. And we pray that we would be effective in partnering with the families in our school communities, that we might truly appreciate the role that parents play and the importance that we have in partnering between them and our schools. Lord, we ask that you continue to bless us as we meet over the next few days. And we ask for an enjoyable and relaxing evening. And we commit each one now as we go. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks very much, everyone. You get a 5-minute building mark.
Thank you.
Welcome to an iTech 15 speaker presentation. This file has been brought to you by Christian Education National. Enjoy and connect to www.cen.edu.au for more information.